Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by Blog Tyrant. Go to blogtyrant.com/filth to get a free individual brainstorming session to help you start a blog or a new career online. Don't just start a website, learn how to make it successful.
Good morning, video games. Welcome once again to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me as ever,
it's Ben Vanell, and this is a very special episode of Filthy Casuals, Tommy. I've been working in the media for a little bit, and more specifically radio lately. And, you know, I want to get on air, so I wanted to do sort of like a test show. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of radio these days is talkback. So mm-hmm. what I thought we'd do is get someone to call in, like a real stupid moron who doesn't know anything about the topic that we're covering.
Right, because, working in radio, you have to work with kind of, you have to deal with on a daily basis the worst kind of absolute low breed.
Exactly.
So you want to prepare yourself for that.
Totally. A lot of dumb questions, mm-hmm. a lot of like bits that go nowhere, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So today we've got with us, calling in from New Zealand, our good friend.
Yeah, good. Hey, hold on. Right at that second, the people I'm staying with banged on the door. Oh, they're going to leave the apartment. They were going to stay in their room, but now they're going. I had a bit ready to go and everything for that introduction. I was ready to go. I was going to say, g'day, long time addict, first time caller and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, God.
That's this, beautiful.
This is just validated. Say,
yell hello.
Adam, come back to bed. Calm down. Stop jacking it in the living room. All
right, see you later. I'm not going to do any of those things. All right, see you later. That was Peter Jones and Luca Muller, who I'm doing a show over here in Wellington with.
God. Yes. Yeah, so you're in New Zealand. You're across the pond, so to speak.
Yes.
You've met some listeners so far. That sounds cool.
Yeah. I've met two. One of them, mm-hmm. his name was Joshua. The other one didn't tell me his name.
Oh, very rude.
Mystery man. Or woman.
But it's been nice here. The city's really picturesque.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
That's all I really have to say about it. It's a city. The more you visit, the more they all seem like, oh, humans are the same everywhere. Cool.
You ever see those Lord of the Rings movies?
Nah, man. What are they?
Oh, brother, you've got to get into them. There's some little folks and some big folks and a lot of love. Mm.
It's the sort of thing you'd love,
I've seen twins.
Yeah, nice. Nice.
So Nox, you're over Skype with us at the moment. You've been traveling a lot, so you've played literally nothing. So one has to ask why we've bothered to do this.
Especially when it took fucking ages to figure out how to set it up with the crappy hotel Wi-Fi.
But there's a couple of news items this week. Nox, do you want to kick us off with the ones that you've brought to the table?
Yes, I saw that. That sounded like I was going to launch into a bit. I'm not. Geralt's in Soul Calibur 6.
Mm.
That's kind of cool. Neither of you guys played The Witcher or any of the Soul Calibur games, is that right?
No, I've played The Witcher 2 and 3 and maybe a Soul Calibur game, but a very long time ago. I know that you're really into those Soul Calibur games though, right?
The first one and the second one in particular were fucking awesome. And they've kind of had a tradition since the second one of having all these odd guest characters in them.
Mm, mm.
And here comes Geralt, the bloody witcher, to swing his sword around. He's a perfect choice for it.
Yeah, even though I haven't played either of those games, Like, obviously, I know who he is as a character, and I love that. I think it's like a cool, like, Smash Brothers-y kind of thing. Like, anything, like, just total fan service of getting him in there. Like, I imagine a lot of people are pretty stoked about that, so that's cool.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's great. When I played the Xbox version of Soul Calibur 2 a bunch, I pretty much exclusively played as Spawn.
Nice.
Right.
But I'm looking forward to this. He swings a sword, so he fits in. That's really sick. All there is to say about it. I'm looking forward to that game a lot. I'm glad they're doing another one.
Have you had time to play Injustice 2 with the Turtles yet?
No.
Yeah, neither.
Oh, wait, yes.
It's another one of those things. It's like, oh, this is really cool.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll play it someday.
I actually did play like one match with them and didn't go in because the way...
You did?
Yeah, just...
You just lied to me before.
You just lied to both of us.
Yeah.
Man, it ain't a lie if your memory sucks. I played one and the default is Leonardo, and to change between the four... You have to go in and like switch their costumes, which is sort of more of an elaborate way of doing that than I would have liked.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because you have to sort of go into that dumb inventory and all that stuff in that game. But yeah, it was cool. That's the Turtles, man.
Oh, it's the Turtles, man.
Nox, have you been able to ascertain so far whether or not they have video games in New Zealand?
Yes, they do, and they cost $120 fucking dollars.
Whoa. Are you visiting EB right now?
It was in an EB.
Oh, wow.
They're expensive as fuck. Joshua, who I was talking to at our show yesterday.
You're obsessed with this guy.
He bought his PS4 from Australia and had it shipped over because that was cheaper than just buying one here.
Wow. That's fucked.
Yeah, but it's a beautiful looking place.
I guess that's the price you pay.
Literally. Oh no, my Skype's cutting out. Gotta go.
And that was Adam. We're going to go to a break now. After the break, we'll be talking about sheep.
So what was the other bit of news you had, Adam?
Never coming back from New Zealand.
It is actually really nice here.
Yeah, I'd really like to visit.
Yeah, it's. I'm going to the zoo tomorrow, I think. Ooh.
You're going to see some baboons?
Hell yeah, my dude.
Oh, nice.
Apparently, they have a good chimp exhibit enclosure.
Great.
Yeah, cool. Do some selfies for Chimp Cop promotion, please.
Yeah, I will.
When you said you're going to the zoo tomorrow, you think. Now, what has to happen to cement these plans in?
You're going to feel extremely stupid having asked that question, Tommy. I'm not going to go if it rains.
Oh, okay. I still would have gone. I'm not a coward.
I don't want to see a bunch of wet, sad animals.
I think most animals look better when they're wet.
Oh, wow. That's a big call.
Absolutely not. The only animals that look better when they're wet are like rhinos and hippos and elephants and stuff with like shiny skin.
That's like half the zoo, bro.
It's not a chimp. It's not an orangutan. It's not any of the apes. Lion? Would you want to see wet lion?
No, I'm telling the truth. Okay, now, we've all had fun here.
What do you think you'll do if it does rain?
I don't know. Get coffee and sit around.
Horse over the lion? The zoo's come early.
Okay, so where were we?
I don't know. I don't have a list in front. If I make a move on this laptop, it's going to make a huge clicking noise into the mic. You don't want that. So I'm flying off of what you're saying here.
Wait, you had a second story to bring up.
He's forgotten it. I remembered it. But we've also heard like a siren in the background. You've coughed. Like, you don't have to be too precious about the mouse clicking, I feel. It's a fight going on. A sexy fight?
I don't know how you can hear the siren because I'm on the sixth floor here, which is about as high as the buildings in Wellington seem to go. And
maybe it was here. I think that could be Shadow of the Tomb Raider teaser trailer was released.
Yeah, I think it was last week. I think we even talked about it, that it got kind of leaked off of something. But they've officially announced that come September there'll be another Tomb Raider game. And they called it the final one of the Lara Croft origin story trilogy or something.
Right. Mm-hmm. I didn't say that. That's interesting.
Some strange language like that. I think that was found from, like, again, as it always is, like a retail listing thing that on a website you weren't meant to be able to access.
Because the trailer was like 30 seconds long tops, and it was just, you know, like quick cuts of someone running through the jungle.
Yeah.
But that's cool. Like, they were fun games. I'm ready to play another one.
I definitely think the first two, they were all right, but there's stuff about them that I hope they can make a lot more interesting. I never have really liked the combat in any of them.
Mm-hmm.
Really, right. The bits where you go around and literally raid the tombs have been the best things. Those little puzzles you get are my favorite parts of those two games that they've made now.
Yeah, because that's like the Uncharted games obviously have puzzles, but they're limited. There's, you know, they're just in the linear story, whereas there are just heaps more in the Tomb Raider games because it has that open world element. So, yeah, I tend to agree. I think the rest is fine. Like, I actually really like those two games. But also, like, the stories are really generic and, like, there's not a lot going on. So if they can at least improve on that, that'd be sweet.
Mm.
I'm totally ready for them to be done with this format of Tomb Raider as well and have another go at, like, reinvigorating it a little bit. I think that this formula is a little bit stale. I felt that when I played the second one even.
Sure. What format is that you would say?
Just the kind of the open world aspect of it, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And just the resource gathering to craft this thing, et cetera, et cetera. Probably the same stuff I'm going to say about Far Cry 5 in a couple of weeks, you know? Like,
right. Yeah.
I worry that might have outstayed its welcome a little bit. I kind of felt the same way even with Uncharted 4 a little bit, I remember, of this. It's just not surprising anymore. There's no... It's a solid meat and potatoes idea that they iterate on, and I'd like to see, you know, something fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to use this opportunity, Ben, to veer off into a certain movie that you saw during the week?
Yeah, okay.
If this is going to be the perfect place to talk about this.
Why?
Well, because it's pretty unrelated. It's unrelated to what we've just talked about, so...
No, Adam, you're going to feel like a real fool because it's actually...
Well, but hold on. But you've seen a film, you said. I mean, this has nothing to do with cinema.
Now, some films are based on other kinds of entertainment.
And also...
It's related because we were talking before about not being able to go to the zoo because it's raining, and a typical thing that you would do when it's raining, a typical activity that one could do is to go to the cinema and see a film.
Yes, and I hadn't seen this film immediately when it came out. I saved it for a rainy day.
Mm.
So I saw Tomb Raider, the movie.
Oh, starring Angelina Jolie.
Yes, that's right. Yes, the 2001 film, Tomb Raider... The Adventures of Lara Croft.
We've been sitting on this review for a long time.
Yeah. And man, she's a hottie. She's a hottie. And I'm a naughty, afraid to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my review.
Great. Fantastic stuff. Yes. We should do these more often.
Yeah, I thought that was some really powerful stuff.
My favorite part of that film was Rimmer being in it.
Yeah, Arnold Rimmer. We've already talked about this, but the YouTube video clip, featuring The Edge,
great stuff,
just some of the greatest.
There's a Tomb Raider movie that came out last week.
What are you talking about?
There's a new Tomb Raider movie. Stop this insufferable bit right now, young man.
It was Knox. It was Knox's fault.
I want to do the rest of the episodes of this podcast that we ever do as though none of us know about anything.
It's not far off already.
Yeah, many listeners would argue that is what we do. Yeah, no, I saw the new Tomb Raider film directed by a man called Roar Urthog. Mm-hmm. He's from Norway, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Starring Alicia Vikander from Ex Machina and The Danish Girl. She's a really good actress.
Mm-hmm.
Co-starring Walton Goggins, one of my favourite actors.
The absolute great man,
Just the greatest. And then a few other people that I don't know. It is not a good movie.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is a bombshell.
I know, I'm blowing your minds. I'm blowing minds here. It's what I do. It's not an awful movie.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that of the video game films that I've seen, it is the best one.
Wow.
It is a solid 4.5 out of 10, but it is the best one. Like, it's competently made. It's not confusing. The performances are all good,
mm-hmm.
but the script is just it's just not written by someone who's good at writing scripts.
Right.
And it has this thing which I think is, you know, a symptom of it being an adaptation from a game. The story is extremely linear,
mm-hmm.
And not in the sense of like, it's like, oh, it's, you know, it's not Pulp Fiction, but in the sense of like, someone tells someone something else and they go, oh, well, I'll go do this then. Mm-hmm. They go, do it. And then someone tells them to do something else and they go, do it. And that's basically the whole film. Like, there's no cinematic, you know, inventiveness or creativity or originality
right.
at all.
That is an incredibly boring format for a film. They sometimes do that where the whole thing feels as though it's a child telling you a story. Where they go, and then this happened and then I felt this and then I did this and then this happened.
It's that, but it also literally has voiceover, and it's not her voiceover. So you're not learning much about her character.
Right.
It's voiceover from her father, who's reading from his own notes.
Oh God,
it's awful. It is like the worst of video game storytelling put into a film.
Yeah,
like you could, I think the main issue I had with it as a film is there were all of these missed opportunities. Like there are scenes that could have been fun and engaging and exciting if they were handled by someone with more creativity, mm-hmm. it seems like. You know, like, I just watched, we rag on Spielberg now, but he is the master of taking, like, a simple story and imbuing it with, like, this life and this fun,
mm-hmm.
and working with good actors to, you know, to help that along. And, yeah, like I said, the actors in this film are great actors.
Mm-hmm.
The two leads are, like, fantastic. And it feels like everything about the film drags them down a little bit.
But how much of that do you feel like the lack of inventiveness is like due to it being a video game adaptation? So there's obviously other parties involved dictating what can and cannot happen.
I mean, it does hew very closely to the story of the first reboot game that was just called Tomb Raider. And then it removes some of the interesting stuff,
mm-hmm.
which is strange. I don't want to spoil it because it might be worth watching. It removes some of the supernatural elements of the story.
Right.
So it's like if you played Uncharted 2 and it's like, oh, we're going to the lost city of El Dorado or whichever one it is, and then it turns out there was no city in the end.
Right.
So that kind of sucks. You know, it takes away some of the more over-the-top interesting stuff from that story. But that's not kind of it. It's more like action scenes are as simple as they possibly could be. Like, there's no fun. The puzzles aren't interesting. Like, it's really just like any cinematic element within the film is done boringly.
Right. And how much did your ticket cost?
I pirated the film.
Just trying to get that confession out of you. You folded like a house of cards.
Yeah. Hey, I got a VPN, bro. Come at me. You will never take me down. You will never take me down.
How will they ever find out who you are?
I'm that guy who came to your New Zealand show. I'm the guy who's not named Josh. I'm the mystery man.
Hey, Nox, you reckon you're going to go visit that Kim.com guy?
Oh, good question. He does.
Is it? I mean, it's an interesting topic. I don't think it's a good question.
Well, he does Twitch streaming now, and I'm pretty sure he was doing one the other day with, like, they were playing Fortnite. It was like him and fucking Snoop Dogg or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, wasn't it
Drake?
It was Drake, yeah.
Drake
showed up on this. Yeah. I didn't know that was with him, though.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Kim.com has been doing video game streams and someone weird showed up on it.
Are you thinking of Kim Jong-il?
Yes. I'm thinking of Twitch streamer Kim Jong-il.
Well,
you should try and get Kim.com to come to your comedy shows.
I would love that. Kim, if you're listening, come along, bring your checkbook, we'll talk business.
All right. Maybe it was that guy who didn't tell you his name.
I think I'd recognize Kim.com. I absolutely would not.
No. He's a master hacker.
Okay, so a couple more things to go through. There was a Nindies presentation last night.
I did not have time to watch this. Did you have time to watch this?
I didn't watch it. I skimmed some of the stuff that got announced. Mm-hmm. And it's all kind of new stuff. A game called Mark of the Ninja Remastered is coming to the Switch, which is a game that was on Xbox originally.
I played Mark of the Ninja back when it came out in like 2012.
Yeah, it's pretty old. Is it good? What is it? I can't, because the trailer they showed is just like a little animation cutscene thing.
Right.
So
right.
They didn't show any of like what the game actually looks like. So it's like it's a stealth thing, right?
Yeah, it's a 2D stealth game, and you've got sort of a little building that you go through and dodge cameras and people, and it controls really well, and I enjoyed playing it at the time. I think that'll mm-hmm. be a great game on the Switch too.
Yeah, cool.
Right. There were a few Assassin's Creed 2D games that had a bit of, kind of stealth combat sort of platformy mechanics, which I really liked, so I'd be keen to play this game, it sounds like.
They are a much poorer imitation of Mark of the Ninja, I think.
Right.
Right.
Mark of the Ninja had a great style to it, and my memory of it is that it controlled very, very well, so you, like, when you pulled off a quite complex thing that you'd need to do by the end of it, you really felt like you'd become a ninja named Mark.
Cool. Wow, nice.
Well, that sounds really cool, and it's getting a full remaster. So looking forward to playing that.
Yeah,
but so all the other stuff in the Nindies presentation was stuff that I had never heard of that I think is like new. There's like a weird pool game coming out made by Adult Swim, which looks kind of kooky and fun. But then, weirdly enough, outside of this Nindies presentation, they announced that Nidhogg 2 is coming to the Switch, which we played back when it came out on the PS4, and it's fun. Suits the Switch.
Cool style. Yeah.
And Hyper Light Drifter is also finally coming out on the Switch, which I am excited about because I've held off playing it for a long time. Looking forward to playing it.
Wait, so were these all the games they announced?
So in the Nindies, they announced, I think they went through like 10 games, and then for some reason, these two, like, so Nidhogg and Hyper Light Drifter got announced separately, like outside of that presentation.
Right.
I'm not quite sure why they didn't include them in that, but
My point being that I get, even with indie games on there, this is a bunch of remasters, basically, or ports.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
There. I don't know, man. It's cool to have them on there, but it's so crazy to have all these big presentations of like, here come all these games that you've seen 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess maybe that explains why they didn't do those two games in that presentation, because everything else in the presentation was, to my knowledge, new.
Right. Well, do you remember what some of them were, or did you not? You didn't watch it. You just read through a thing about it.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. I've just skimmed it. None of them sort of super leapt out at me, so I haven't kind of gone through and looked at them yet. But I'm sure it'll be one of those things where once they get closer, pay a bit more attention to them, and maybe there's some good stuff in there. But yeah, it didn't seem like the last time they did one of these, they announced like Golf Story and a bunch of stuff that kind of immediately leapt out at me just from looking at screens and stuff of this today. Like nothing really grabbed me.
Right. Which is
fair enough.
Good.
No.
Yeah.
No. So Sea of Thieves.
Yeah. It's out. It's out there.
It's out there.
Yeah.
People do not seem positive about it.
Well, there's been a lot of server issues, a lot of crashing, like a lot of wait times to get on board is what I've seen. And I've also seen that people are not liking playing it as a, well, not as a single player game, but like as a, you can go out solo. You can go into the, the open world and the open seas and play it. And apparently it's not fun to do that. And when you're having issues with server connection, that sucks.
Yeah.
Have you seen any other stuff about it, Nox? Because I haven't seen reviews yet.
So it's kind of the flagship ha-ha-ha game for the Game Pass thing where the new things are being put on their subscription service.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right.
So my plan is to get back and give that a go via that when I can. Because, yeah, I didn't even bring my Switch over here or anything. I haven't had time to play anything, but I definitely want to give Sea of Thieves a go because it's rare. They've really been pushing it, I think it seems like they may be pushing it a little bit with this game because...
It's weird to hear, like, that, you know, people so far not super into it because it just seems like the writing has been on the wall with it for quite some time. Like, every time you've heard people play a little bit of it, like at E3, people seem to not have really been won over by it at any point.
Like, and it seemed to be very clear what it is for a while as well. It's like, well, it's a co-op pirate ship game. You all have to do a little bit on your ship. The more players you have in your team, the bigger the ship is, so the more there is to do. And you, like, go around looting and polluting, I guess. Like,
that is not the way.
No, it's not. You better hear what Captain Planet has to say. That's unfortunate because it's not even a No Man's Sky situation where people were fooling themselves into thinking this is going to be this incredible, massive game and then it turns out to be like a pretty simple sci-fi survival game. I feel like very clear what it's been for a while.
It's such a strange thing in that it seems as though it is made with watching streams of it in mind rather than actually playing it.
Because
it's got this odd, like, performative aspect to it where it's like you can play the accordion with your friends and, like, it almost seems as though maybe through it having not enough content to engage people that most people seem to be taking it as a playground of trying to be funny inside of it.
Right. Oh boy.
Yeah.
So I want to give it a go and maybe try and find a group to have a bit of a muck around with it in co-op because I would like to see it from the point of view of what their idea of the best case scenario for playing it is. Like if they say you need three people who you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Give it a go from that.
Yeah. It seems like the kind of game which I will probably never ever in for the rest of my life have the time or the circumstance to play in the way it should be, which is like have five or six friends be online at the same time, be into the same kind of game and be willing to like just fuck around on it for a while.
Like
I'm not gonna have, you know, 2 or 3 hours of an evening to ever do that.
And if you do have all of those criteria, there's probably stuff that's more fun to play
totally
in that group.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a wild idea to, like, on paper you're like, yeah, all these people and you can explore the seas and here's these dumb things you can muck around with, but it's such an impractical design of the game, which seems like such an unfun thing to say, like, you've not been practical with this game, but, you know.
It's
if you're going to fucking, like, force me to set up a Google Calendar with a bunch of other people to play your game, fuck you.
It's so crazy, like, yeah, Rare, you know, doing something for the first time in a long time and this being, you know, Microsoft, one of their, you know, the only big kind of like, flagship game that they have on the horizon. Like, I don't know.
That was two puns in one sentence.
Thank you.
Very good.
That's all I wanted to get out. it's a shame that they didn't just keep it simple and just do what Rare does really well and like make a platformer or, you know.
Even make this a solely offline single player game that is still a pirate game, but like make NPC characters that are funny and have quests.
Totally,
and, you know,
that
would be better.
And look, there's no reason you can't make a game where the point of it is to have heaps and heaps of players in there at the same time. That's what the biggest game at the world in the moment is.
Yep.
But it's such a, like, them making it the sort of poster child for Game Pass. I don't know. It's not going to get people in.
Now, you are such a king of the segue, Knox, that you successfully seeded our next news item without having seen the list of news stories. That is incredible work by you.
We shouldn't talk about the film Tomb Raider now. I don't want to do it.
PUBG.
Lots of people in a game at the same time. It's a lot like lots of people sitting in a cinema at the same time.
That's right.
Watching a movie adaptation of a video game.
Yeah, something that I also can't find enough friends to do with. PUBG's gone mobile, baby. It's gone onto people's phones.
Fortnite has.
Are you sure?
100%.
Really?
They're two different games. Yeah, yeah. Fortnite is on mobile, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, PC and Xbox.
No.
And Fortnite's on everything
else.
Nope.
You're 100% wrong. PUBG is...
Fortnite is on mobile.
PUBG is on mobile. It was released like 2 days ago.
Fortnite. This is about Fortnite.
I'm looking at all of the news stories about it.
PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Yep. It's on mobile.
Well, Fortnite came out on mobile last week. I can't fucking look this up because if I make a clicking
noise... Do you want me to read any of the stories about it to you?
You're going to hear a couple of clicking noises.
March 19th, Polygon. PUBG Mobile is live on Android and iOS.
Fuck, okay. Well, I guess I missed this because I've been flying around differences.
It's almost like you could have trusted me who was looked up the stories today.
Well, I'm just surprised by this.
Well, PUBG's on mobile. I'm breaking the news to you right now.
In China?
What?
That's what the first... Oh, okay, yeah, all right. This did happen. What the fuck?
This is Nox's, like, reaction video to a news story.
Yeah.
This is like someone coming out of a like a bomb shelter, you know, blast from the past style thing.
Yes.
Man,
it's on mobile now?
Who's the president?
No, the other guy's a president who's also surprising.
So what do you think about this bombshell announcement, Nox?
Yeah.
Well, this is...
Give us your live reactions to hearing this for the first time.
Mm. It's pretty fucking crazy. And like, so Fortnite has overtaken PUBG in terms
of
the number of players.
Well, that also has happened, yeah.
Yeah, and the popularity. And they released a mobile version last week.
Yeah.
So this happening now, apparently they've been fucking trialing it for a bit in Canada. I had no idea about this. But, I don't know. I wouldn't want to play it, but I guess it's cool.
I've heard really positive stuff already. I've heard positive stuff, yeah, from listeners of ours and just generally that people are loving it. People are saying it recreates the experience really, really well.
That's
and
crazy.
It's free, hey?
I think so.
Yeah. I think I saw someone say that it's free. So what? It's the full game. You just control using a like your thumb as a joystick kind of deal thing on the screen.
Yeah, I guess so. I haven't played it, but yes, it is free. So I guess we should all play it before next week's show.
Fuck, that's crazy. I mean, yeah, I'm excited to be able to play it. I've got a nice new iPad with a good big screen, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I paid for a bunch of Wi-Fi to do this, so I'll spend 29 years downloading it here over this hotel Wi-Fi and give it a go. I had no idea about this. What a fuckwit.
We know.
Yeah, so this is it's a pretty big thing for two of the world's biggest games, one of which... It was accused of ripping the other one's gameplay entirely. And, you know, is that's wrong. Like, they both stole the concept from Battle Royale.
In the world of video games, stole it from another game called H1Z1, which had this mode in it first.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
I think.
But, yeah,
I think
so they've both gone... I think so. And that in itself is like an add-on to something else, maybe. It's one of those weird... kind of massively multiplayer mod games, I think. A couple of other things have happened this week. It was announced that Star Wars Battlefront 2 is just getting rid of loot boxes. They're not coming back. They've removed all of the pay to win, pay to play, pay to upgrade stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just experience points.
That's huge.
It's a big win.
Yeah.
It's a win for gaming in general because, you know, EA were the ones leading the charge in fucking over gamers.
They must be... pretty salty that's what they've ended up having to do.
Yes.
Like there'd be some bean counter somewhere who's like supremely fucked off about all this.
Yeah, and it's the kind of thing you just don't expect to happen because you also expect the bean counter to be like, look, yeah, but like people are annoyed but they're still buying the game and they're still paying for microtransactions. It still makes financial sense.
Well, especially because they had said it is coming back. So if they had have done it, they're not going against anything. They're just fulfilling what they said they were going to do.
And if they said something like, you know, oh, we're changing it slightly. We're rejigging it. We're making it fairer, but we are bringing it back. People probably would have been okay with it.
Yeah.
I believe they did bring it back for a bit.
Right.
So there's been a brief window in between where you have been able to buy all of the shit.
Right.
That they are now getting rid of again, which is kind of even worse to make to give people the opportunity to buy it for a hot minute and then take it away again.
Yeah, you'd feel but pretty this will be dumb one of those things. Spent some money on that.
This will be one of those things where, like, the villain has fallen into the volcano at the end of the movie, but he'll be back for a sequel in 5 years.
yeah. The world will, you know, just start to feel safe again.
Yeah.
They'll forget about old evil Dr. Fuckman. And,
Dr. Fuckman.
Yes. And he will rise once more.
Fuckman was actually the one who created Dr. Fuckman.
What?
It's just realized that's the reverse of Frankenstein.
Yes.
Dr. Fuckman is a different character.
Yes, Fuckman is the monster. I kind of expected them to be. It's surprising that they've gone like, oh, actually, we might lose more money in the future by being dicks. Because maybe people will just stop buying our games.
Yeah.
Which is a huge call to actually make. It's a thing that is based on projection and all that kind of stuff.
Man, but the second the government started getting involved with regulation talk, it must have scared the shit out of them.
Yes, that's a good call. Yeah. Yes.
You do wonder though, because any other company trying to do this now, now that the precedent's been set of like these guys copped it so hard that they went, okay, no, we can't do it. So, like, anyone who tries it on now knows that they are just going to, people aren't going to cop it. And they are going to look so bad if they try it on.
Well, I think there still have been games, maybe not since, but games have continued to have them. Like, games that came out just before, I'm thinking Shadow of War. A lot of those games from around that, like, 2 month window had it. And still have them as far as I know.
PUBG and Fortnite that we were just talking about have them.
Yeah, right.
Only for cosmetic things, though, I think is the big difference, obviously.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. 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 And that's the thing with Shadow of War. It was to progress you through the story. It was to skip like 80 hours of grinding, which made it a bad game or made it a worse game than it would have been otherwise.
Mm-hmm. It's shit so crazy, man. Fucking paying money to play less of your shit game is...
Yes.
The most ridiculous thing.
Yeah. So speaking of bad things online, boy, EA could have learned a thing or two if they had spoken to Blog Tyrant. Good segue?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, okay. I'll take it. This episode is brought to you by Blog Tyrant. Now, I'm getting confused because we've recorded maybe an episode out of sequence, but they sponsored the last episode, Blog Tyrant?
Yep.
Well, baby, they've sponsored another episode of our show, for the Casuals.
Is that what this is?
No, I think so. I'm not sure. I feel more jet-lagged than Nox would.
I agree.
It's been a big week.
Yeah.
It's been a very busy week. But you know who helps streamline your online lifestyle and remove some of that, you know, busyness and stress from your digital career?
Who, pray tell, could offer this such a service?
Tomb Raider the movie?
Dr. Fuckman.
Blog Tyrant. So go to blogtyrant.com/filth and you're going to get a free individual brainstorming session with the tyrant himself.
Mm. It's a great man.
Dr. Blog Tyrant. To help you start a blog or a new career online. With more and more people looking to the internet to pursue a hobby, support an existing career, or start a little something on the side, Blog Tyrant is an invaluable resource. With step-by-step guides on creating websites and making sure you get plenty of visitors, Blog Tyrant has been helping people build successful blogs and websites for almost a decade. Nox, if you were going to make a new blog and have a gimmick, what would the gimmick of the blog be?
Thehuntforkim.com.
And it would
follow my trip around New Zealand trying to track down the man, but I wouldn't Google where he is. I'd have to find him just through sight and scent alone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. And then write blog entries, I guess, to publish after the fact so he doesn't tip to you being on his tail.
Nope, I'm publishing them live. If he thinks he can outrun me, he's welcome to try.
Oh, wow.
This is great.
It's like a real cat and mouse situation.
Yeah.
It's no cat and mouse. It's fucking magnet and big piece of metal, and I'm the magnet, and I'm going to draw him to me.
It could be cat and computer mouse, because he's an internet man.
Hell yeah.
If it's magnet and metal, it doesn't matter which one you are. Like, you're still, like, you're gonna find him either way.
Yeah, that's true, like, but the magnet is in power in the situation.
Okay.
No one's looking at a piece of metal attached to a magnet and going, like, the metal's won.
Okay. That's interesting.
I don't know if anyone, when they see a bit of metal attached to a magnet, has really any thought about the situation whatsoever.
No, that's, yeah.
Everything's power dynamics, man. Read my new book. It's called The Game 3. I'm sure The Game 2 already exists. So
yeah.
I went for 3.
I don't believe it does.
Oh, well, then my book's called The Game 2. Fuck!
Well, that was a good bit. I hope you enjoyed that, Blog Tyrant. And if you think that Blog Tyrant sounds like a helpful service, which it certainly is, and you want to start a blog or a new online career, go to blogtyrant.com/filth. That's blogtyrant.com/filth to get your free email feedback on your idea for a blog.
Mm.
Thanks, Dr. Blog Tyrant.
Yeah. So moving on to what we have played this week. Kirby Star Allies came out on the Switch on Friday, and I've been playing a little bit of that.
Yes.
And I am enjoying it a lot, even though it is perhaps the least challenging thing I have done in a very long time.
Yeah, right.
Tying shoes is harder than this game. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you basically, you play as Kirby. You have the ability to throw little hearts at the enemies in the game who then join your little team.
Yeah, your little party of four.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you then can kind of combine their abilities and Kirby's ability into, like, so if Kirby has a sword and you get someone that's like a little electric man, you can, you know, then have like an electric sword, which
right.
lets you attack in different ways. So it looks great, like the world and the design and everything. The presentation, as you'd expect from a first party Nintendo game, is impeccable.
Yep.
And it's a weird one because it's not difficult, but it's still really enjoyable. Mm. Like, it just is fun to cruise through, especially if you've come off playing something that's like, you know, like, so having played Celeste pretty recently, which
right.
was quite taxing, there's something about just the flow of it that I'm enjoying. Like, it's almost, you know, it almost in the way that you'd enjoy, like, kind of a walking simulator game, where
right.
at no point is it, like, super taxing you, but it just is all the design and the various stuff that's going on. It is very fun and satisfying, like, finding these new abilities that you unlock and just seeing, like, the different combinations that you can create and stuff.
Right.
It's just all – and it's all just really, really charming.
Mm.
Like, just little touches, like, you get health pickups, and if you want to replenish the health of your team, you do that by walking over to them and Kirby gives them a little kiss. And that makes their health go up. It's just everything is, like – it's very over-the-top cute. Mm. I'm really, really enjoying it. I would say perhaps if you're someone who does want to get your ass whooped by a game, I wouldn't completely discount it, but I would definitely say wait for a discount.
Yeah.
Wait for a price drop or to get it secondhand. Perhaps not one that you need to super rush towards, but I still do think it's worth it's still worth considering if you're looking, you know, if down the line, if you're looking for something to, you know, just to, you've got a blank patch and you want something fun and cruisy to play. And also definitely if you have kids or you have someone who is not as, you know, hardcore a gamer, it's a very fun platformer to play, with someone else. Because you can have up to four people fucking around in these levels and you frequently have points where it's just chaos and there's just shit flying around everywhere and it's a fun game.
It seems like it would be fun. The boss fights would be fun
and
would be more fun with actual co-op.
Yeah.
But it sounds like the demo is is extremely reflective of the full game, because the demo was charming, visually great, very polished and well presented, and extremely easy.
Yeah,
and,
totally.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's still like it's not like it's super short. Like there is still plenty to plow through. And the levels all kind of like the visually the look of them changes, and the stuff that you're doing in them kind of changes enough that it remains interesting the whole way through. Like it's an interesting spectacle, even if it's not even if it's not really taxing you. But like I think at this point I've got like 75 lives or something like that.
Yeah, right.
And the other thing is that Kirby games have always been on the easier side. So
right.
There's sort of you kind of know that going in. Like there's kind of already a precedent there. It's not like this has kind of come out of nowhere and is a walk in the park like unexpectedly.
Yeah.
And yeah, like my main worry was that it would be more suited to co-op than it is to single player, and you would feel like you're kind of missing out on the experience. But it kind of doesn't feel that way at all, because because you can summon the CPU characters to like do go and perform these certain things for you. It feels more like it's meant to be a single player game that you can have other people hop in on.
Right.
More so than it's been designed with co-op in mind, and you're sort of shortchanging the experience by playing just single player.
Right. Nox, anything to add?
Yep. With the difficulty thing, I just like when Call of Duty games and things like that are good, that's kind of what I like about them, is that they're pretty simple and straightforward a lot of the time. I don't play them on the hardest difficulty or whatever, but it's the spectacle and the art style and whatever that you might enjoy, and this sounds like it's that sort of relaxing type of game.
Totally, yeah. I'm into all the crazy stuff that's going on, and the story is just bonkers, and it genuinely is fun when you find a new enemy and you can either have Kirby suck them up and take their powers or have them in your little party, and start to get very like some bits you need a certain ability for, so you kind of have to go and find that enemy that has that power, like fire or whatever, and then replace someone in your party with them.
Right.
And like I get very set on like, here's my little team, here's Kirby's power that I like the most, and I get very like, oh no, I don't want to have to kick someone out. Like,
right.
And so there's a thing in it where you can you unlock these little dream palaces where you can go and get these like some of the legacy characters of Kirby, like King Dedede and Meta Knight and stuff. And there's a free DLC pack that comes out next week that's got more of these characters in it.
Right.
I don't know why they staggered it 2 weeks after the game coming out. But like I'm looking forward to that. Like the little hamster guy that you had in Kirby's Dream World 2 on the Game Boy. And like I kind of really like this thing that a lot of the Switch games have had at the moment, the first party Nintendo games, that they kind of all end up being sort of these sort of like legacy versions of the game, where they're like really dipping back into the past and sort of doing a bit of a love letter to the series as a whole.
Odyssey certainly was that.
Yeah.
And I guess Breath of the Wild included so many, you know, like sound cues and bits of music and
stuff. Then all the DLC for Breath of the Wild was like, here's Majora's Mask.
Yeah, right. Totally. I really like that. And I kind of really hope they keep that going, where they kind of almost treat it as like, like the franchise, like a bit of a reboot, but also like a bit of a look back. Because, I mean, there have been a lot of Kirby platformers where they sort of end up doing all this different stuff with him, where it's like, oh, you draw on the screen and he rolls along in a ball. Like, it's just cool that they made a straightforward, like, you know, even though it's got this mechanic of having these three other people with you, this kind of like back to basics, solid Kirby platformer.
Yep.
I mean, it's interesting that world of the Kirby games is I really like it. It's the sort of like art style and everything that I'm very much into, like very cutesy. And Kirby has a lot of personality, even though it would be a stretch to even call him a character, because he is the most basically designed thing that possibly has ever existed. It's fun. It looks great, and the overworld maps, even just those, are cool.
I really dug the style. That it's very cartoony.
Yeah,
and some of it's a bit like retro cartoony as well. I really like that. It's not a game I'm going to get now. There's surprisingly a bunch of games out now, and more tomorrow.
Yeah.
as of the release of this episode.
Yep.
But yeah, this will be something that I get for the Switch.
Yeah, I definitely would say to anyone who is put off by the ease or whatever, like, yeah, definitely don't completely write it off. Like, wait, yeah, for sure, wait for a second hand or to borrow it from someone or something. But it is still worth the time of day, even though it's not particularly taxing.
Yeah, nice.
What have you been playing, young man?
A couple of things. I've been playing a strategy resource management sort of city building game.
Oh, fuck, here we go.
Yeah. Yeah. Strap in, everyone. Strap into your beds and have a sleep, because I am about to talk about resource management.
It's the most Ben Vanel thing I've ever heard.
Hey, it's also a sci-fi themed game.
Oh, shit, dude.
Yeah. Involving drones. It's called Surviving Mars. I played it on my Mac through Steam. It's also on PC. I don't think it's on any consoles. Mm-hmm. It's pretty sure developed by the same company that made Cities Skylines, which is the SimCity sort of successor that's been out the past few years and I really liked. But yeah, Surviving Mars is you kind of land a rocket on Mars and you got to make a city, mm-hmm. or at least a settlement. And so you got to build machines that'll get water out of the ground, or an oxygen filter, or just all these kind of things that you then build like a big dome. And so it's like a biodome and you put people in the dome, and it's just a real classic city building, you know, resource game, but it's set on Mars and it's kind of slower paced again, which just everyone is just riveted just on the edge of their seats at how this game sounds. But it is slow, it's relaxing, it's not too difficult either,
mm-hmm.
but like the atmospheric music's very nice.
Yeah, nice.
And the design's cool, and yeah, it just has this great little gameplay loop, and I'm really enjoying it. It's not for anyone who doesn't like this kind of game. It's not converting anyone.
Yeah.
But it's been really, really fun. It's a game that I have only put a few hours into and I feel like will open up in terms of its depth and complexity the more I play it.
Right.
When
Matt Damon starts talking to himself, that game gets really good.
I actually don't mind Donald Glover in this game, I have to say.
Man, fuck Donald Glover.
I knew that would
No, actually, well. I'll tell you something. Mm? I watched some of Atlanta. It's good.
Yeah, it's really
good,
Atlanta,
isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So now that he's got the thumbs up from me, he can continue his career.
It was weird. Did you guys see Spider-Man Homecoming?
No.
Yeah.
I felt it was weird that because there was that big campaign that for Donald Glover to play Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And in Spider-Man Homecoming, he plays a black gangster from the streets.
Mm.
It's kind
the,
of like...
The character that he plays, though... I believe either him or his younger brother or something become Spider-Man later in the comics.
Right. I think I knew that. Miles Morales is Black Spider-Man, right?
So, well, the current Spider-Man, I don't know anything about the Spider-Man comics, but yeah, the current Spider-Man is not Peter Parker.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, back to The Martian. A great movie, one of Ridley Scott's only good movies in a long time.
That's such a fun, like, in the middle of, you know, my favorite thing is being on another planet where I can manage spreadsheets. Also, I have this comment about human society that I don't understand.
So Surviving Mars, 3 drones out of 4. but it is really good. I'm enjoying it. It is, for people who like that kind of game, the aesthetic and the atmosphere of it add to that sort of gameplay. Mm-hmm. I really like it. Have you played anything else, Tommy?
I have. I played a game called Flint Hook.
Oh, yes.
Indie game which has just recently come out on the Switch. I believe it's been out on the PS4 for a little bit. Mm. And interestingly enough, I think this is correct. It's actually cheaper on the Switch than it is elsewhere.
Oh.
Yeah.
That has to be a mistake.
Very, yes. Very, very rare. So it's a... I basically got bullied into it by
horny dad
/ professional meth addict Andrew Levins, it's a roguelike, which mm-hmm. I don't tend to particularly love. Like, none of them have ever really grabbed me. Which is kind of why I withheld for so long. But it's like pixel art style. You're a little space pirate and you board these ships. Mm-hmm. You go from room to room. You have a grappling hook. There's like hooks hanging from all the ceilings so you can kind of like basically fly around the levels. And you have a gun and you can like momentarily slow down time.
Right.
So on each ship you are trying to find – you're basically trying to they're kind of like labyrinthy. And you're basically trying to get to a, ultimately get to a room that has like a gem in it, and you're sort of doing a bounty. So,
right.
You have this little tracker that needs the first one is like 3 gems in order to find the bounty, which is the villain that you're trying to hunt down and kill.
Right.
So you'll go into a ship, you'll get the gem, then you go into the next ship, and you have to successfully do all 3 in a row. So once you die, your progress resets and right. you have to do them all in one hit. Mm-hmm. When you do get all of them, you then go into like a boss fight with this bounty that you're tracking down.
Right.
And you get XP over the course of it. Like every even when you fail, you get all this, you get all the money and mm-hmm. Experience points, which you can then use to kind of like buy these perks that you can equip to yourself before you go in. And so like the stronger you get, the more slots you have to put in things like making your gun stronger or giving you more health or just right. all that sort of standard sort of stuff.
Yep.
And yeah, like it's really, really fun. The style is great. The music is great. The character design is awesome. Mm. Again, just extremely my bag. Mm-hmm. And it's I think the best thing that I can say about it is for being a roguelike, which is not something that I've typically enjoyed. All the ships are like, you know, procedurally generated and they do not feel that way at all.
Right.
If I did not know that, I would think that they were all like, it would have taken me ages to work out like, oh, these aren't actually humanly designed.
Right.
They do like you're never in bits where it's like obvious, like, oh yeah, this is just kind of a random algorithm slapping these together. Like they do feel, everything feels very deliberate, right. even though it's not. So yeah, it's really, really fun and it's a good thing on the Switch cause it's good for like little short bursts and yeah, I really love it. I resisted, Levin's, raving about it for a long time and, just caved and yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Cool. Really recommend it. I think it kind of, I didn't really hear anything about it apart from him. So I think it's kind of, and even when it was out on the, PlayStation, I didn't hear anything about it then.
Yeah.
So
I'd not heard of it. Yeah. Again, until Levin's mentioned it in our Facebook group. Yeah.
And it probably is on, I guess it's on Steam as well.
Yeah, most likely.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's yeah. If you've never heard of it, definitely. Yeah, I think it's like $18 or something. So yeah, definitely worth a look in.
Mm.
Get on it.
Nice. I again will probably not in the next week, but yeah, I'm gonna give it a go.
And also the fact that you like you're on the like you're chasing down these. You've got like an objective, which is to get to a boss.
Right.
Makes it feel more like an actual game that you're trying to get through. Mm-hmm. Instead of just this thing of like, hey, just play this forever and keep trying to get a higher score. Like yeah. there is actual kind of like more traditional video game kind of progression to it, which I really like.
Yeah. There was a game, Rogue Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
I think if that might be the kind of the big one that was on Steam that everyone got into that was the roguelike for a while. And I tried it and I think it was that there was no narrative drive. There was no drive at all that I could see apart from going through a level and killing people. So I've never been able to get into roguelike games, but maybe this is the one.
I think this might, yeah, I mean, this could be, I think this is kind of the one if you've never, And, you know, once you get a grip of the controls and you start like zipping around really quickly with the grappling hook, like it feels great.
Yeah.
Handles really well. And yeah, it's like, just the whole aesthetic of it does such a good job of like really investing you in it. Like it's fun. You're a little pirate kind of like, you know, breaking your way onto these ships and getting the treasure and then fucking off.
Yeah,
like
nice.
It's really satisfying.
So this is the pirate game to get this week, not Sea of Thieves.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Huge call. Huge call. Have you played this yet, Noxy?
Nope, I haven't played anything. I probably won't even have time to go to the zoo. My life is being taken away from me piece by piece.
Oh, fantastic stuff. Ben, what else have you been playing?
I played Burnout Paradise Remastered,
mm-hmm.
and it's fucking fun.
Great.
It's really good. I made the very basic bitch comment in our Facebook group that it is like a more fun version of Need for Speed.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave Callan, a friend of the show mm-hmm. and old Scottish dancer, mm-hmm. called me out for it. but like, I just had never played it, and it's great. It's really... Everything about it just makes sense. It's perfectly designed. It's very streamlined. It's easy to get in and out of challenges and races. Mm-hmm. And like, it fucking feels fast. Like,
right.
You know those moments in like the GTA games where you're just like nailing it. You're just going through a city. You're missing all the cars. You're mm-hmm. weaving and dodging, and you just feel like you are the best driver in the world. It kind of feels like that all the time.
Great.
And I don't know if it's the way they design the AI so that there's never really too many like... not pedestrians, civilian cars in the way,
mm-hmm.
but it's just this like really breakneck speed all the time.
I was scrolling through Kotaku the other day and I saw a headline that said, I can't enjoy Burnout because I drive a car in the real world.
And well, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I think I'm done with this website.
Yeah, I think I'm done with the internet. Like, fuck me. That's stupid.
Like, is that meant to be clickbait? It's one of the dumbest things I've ever read.
Did you click it?
No.
Good. Good.
I bet they had some sort of a, like, that seems like something where if you read the actual article, it would be like, I'm boring, so I can't drive fast because I'm scared of turning corners in this game.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. There's something to say there if you've got fucking a certain number of words you have to fill every day.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to feed the machine.
I have a car. I like driving fast. I wish I could drive really fast and I get to like let that out in Burnout. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't even make sense to me.
Yeah.
Logically, but
that's like going, I can't enjoy Breath of the Wild because there's a park near my house.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because I own a display sword. It's like, now you can swing it, brother. You can swing it as hard as you like.
Go for gold.
Yeah. But no, it's the game that was described to me. It's really, really fun. And
because you played the original, didn't you, Nox?
Yeah. Not the original. I think I think 3 was the first one I played.
Right,
right.
But the original Burnout Paradise, I see what you mean.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a fucking awesome game. Mm. You're right about the design being perfect, where the roads are wider than they should be, so you can do burnouts around them and you can drift and shit. Like, It's set up as this fun playground and this dumb adventure park where you have a little dumb thing to discover everywhere, and it's always silly and fun because you have to go over some jump or break something to do it.
Totally, and it reminded me of those early GTA games where there were stunt jumps everywhere and you'd go into slow-mo and you hit them, and it has them everywhere. Like, every freeway has like a big jump ramp in the middle every now and then.
Fuck, I got to play this. This sounds like extremely my shit.
It is. It's slightly more...
It's the best driving game of the last generation of consoles.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's more last gen than anything I've played for a while for obvious reasons. But the more recent Need for Speed games, which I do like, just try and add more realism than they should. Like, it should be this silly.
At the expense of the fun. Yeah, yes, totally.
Totally.
Yeah, so that's sick.
If anyone's never played it and has a PS4, I'm not sure if it came out again. Probably on the Xbox, certainly not on the Switch. But if you haven't played it, go in. It's a really fun time.
Is it digital only or is it out in the shops?
I don't know. I got it.
There's boxes.
I did get it digitally. Oh, cool. Cool.
It's what?
There
are boxes.
There's boxes for the game.
Oh, okay.
Which you buy from a shop.
Okay, right. I get it now.
In real life.
Yes. Okay. Now I'm back on board. Okay. I understand now.
All right.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, I don't think I've played anything else, but I'm keen for a few upcoming releases. I saw that Ni No Kuni 2 has been getting really good reviews.
Yeah.
So, I loved the first one. I'm very keen to play that. And Far Cry 5.
Yeah. So
we'll be talking about it in a couple of weeks, I guess.
Yes.
Well, yeah, we should say that basically brings us to the end of this week's episode. Mm-hmm. We should say that we have already recorded next week's episode in advance.
Yes.
In anticipation of us all being very busy in the week that the Comedy Festival begins. So it's a good episode.
Yeah.
But if any news that happens between now and then, we will not, we won't be covering for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
just to make people aware of that. But yeah, we went through a bunch of listener questions that have been sitting there for a while, and yeah, had some good chats in that one.
Yeah, another sort of big, general, expansive, just themes and topics episode, which was really fun to do, yeah.
And then, yeah, Far Cry and, yeah, a bunch of stuff to talk about when we come back. But, yeah, for now, let's give a quick plug to the stuff that we're all doing at the Comedy Festival. I've got my comedy fest. If you didn't cough into the mic just then, by the way, that's just going to sound make me sound like a maniac.
Yes. I tried to do it away from the mic, but I'm looking at the waveforms as I'm recording this, and it was big.
Yes, my show Leisure Suit Tommy opens on March the 28th and runs until April 22. Only 13 shows within that time frame. So, yeah, comedyfestival.com.au. It's at 8:20 p.m. at the Cooper's Inn. I just did it in Adelaide last week, and I am very happy with it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, so I'm looking forward to seeing some filth down there.
I'm looking forward to seeing the show.
Thank you.
And I'm looking
feeling
forward...
Feeling is not mutual.
I'm looking forward to doing a show called The Death of Chimp Cop. It is on at 8:30 p.m. from March the 29th until April the 22nd at Trades Hall. Tickets are selling surprisingly fast.
Great.
So get on in if you want to come. It's going to be a ripper. We've almost finished preparing it.
Great.
Noxy?
I'm doing a show called This Show is Good and Funny, Attendance Appreciated. It is from the 29th of March until the 22nd of April, every day except Wednesdays at 6:30 at Trades Hall. Bloody come along, buy yourself a ticket, have a couple laughs. Man, what
just
have you
a
got
couple.
Better to do?
Yeah.
A couple per second.
Whoa, a couple per second.
Yeah, if you come to my show, you will die.
What else?
We have our premium episodes on Bandcamp. We have our Patreon, which people can support us on if they would like to do that. It is very much appreciated.
Yes.
Filthycasuals.com.au is the best way to find links to all of that stuff.
Yep.
Including our socials and all that kind of business.
Listen to Nox and I's Game of Thrones podcast, Arya Talking to Me. What else? Oh, I wanted to mention I'm going to be playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Nice.
With some of the listeners of Filthy Casuals.
Nice.
So we're kicking that off after Comedy Festival.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that our listeners were a bunch of nerds.
it's people from all over the world. Some Americans, some Canadians, some Australians. If you're a D&D person, hit me up on Twitter. Like, I'm getting into it. I'm preparing.
Are you
my
a D&D person?
I've played it once. I've played like a adventure once before,
right.
With friend of the show Timothy Clark,
mm-hmm.
and a few other people. I think Nick Mason may mm-hmm. have been in that group. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it, especially as like something in my life that I'm not doing for content's sake.
Yes, totally.
But yeah, just thought I'd mention that.
But you're plugging it on here, so you kind of are.
Yeah, you got me.
Cool. Yeah, hit up Ben if you want to get in on that. We'd better wrap it up here for another week. Guys, thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
ski, I'm Dr. Fuckman. I hope you appreciate that because it's midnight in New Zealand and I just yelled that in the apartment.
And
this podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.